In season two of The Sneak, a podcast from For the Win and USA Today, we will tell the story of surfing champion Jack Roland Murphy, who in 1964 pulled a heist that made him the most famous jewel thief in the country. But that was just the beginning of his story, one that quickly spun out of control and then turned deadly. The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is available now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Or experience the entire series right now, ad-free, exclusively on Wondery Plus. Download the Wondery app and hear all of Season 2 today.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports. Featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman. The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter. Now, Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
Friends, welcome to The Counter, the post-Thanksgiving stupor edition. Maybe you're out Black Friday shopping. I don't know. Stephen, I heard you're at the Queenstown Outlets. Is that right? You're just over the Bay Bridge there, down on the Eastern Shore.
I'm actually in the woods right now. So if there's a...
You're in the woods?
Yes, in the woods.
Wow. I feel like Eastern Shore, Stephen, is going to be... I guess like a little wilder version of you, right?
Sure.
Okay, good. We're gonna get some real takes this time, you guys. Steven's not holding back anymore. The NFL played some games on Thanksgiving. I hope that you had a nice Thanksgiving. I hope you were able to get together with whoever you could out there safely. The NFL could not. The NFL failed to play its marquee game of the day. The Ravens-Steelers game had been postponed. And all we got on Thursday was more bad news, including that Lamar Jackson apparently has tested positive. So now his participation in the rescheduled Steelers-Ravens game is in doubt. I think that game is still scheduled as of this second, still scheduled to be played Sunday, but it's almost certainly going to need to be moved. However, it's going to be hard to move it because the Ravens are supposed to play the Cowboys next Thursday. The Cowboys maybe should just give up on the season. Maybe that's the solution after seeing what the Washington football team did to the Cowboys yesterday. But the NFL has a total mess on its hand. We'll dig in a little bit on that, try to figure out where the league goes from here. I'm just seeing reports now that I guess Broncos, I can't even keep up. There's just more and more teams having positive tests. So we'll dig in on that. We'll review the two games from yesterday. Like I said, the Washington football team had an easy time with the Cowboys, and Deshaun Watson had an easy time making Matt Patricia look like Matt Patricia. So not terrific games. We'll dig in a little on that, and then we'll look ahead to the rest of week 12. Stephen did a nice piece on, we've been trying to figure out Tom Brady for months now, right? Like that's, if you did a tag cloud for our show, Tom Brady, unfortunately, would probably be the biggest tag because he has just dominated in the time period since we launched The Counter. In our 51 episodes, he was a free agent and then he signed and then we were trying to figure out how he'd fit and then it looked like he would fit. And now we're back to thinking that maybe he's not a great perfect fit for what the Bucs want to do on offense. Steven broke that down. We'll dig in on that. Because the Bucs are playing the Chiefs in probably the most anticipated game of the weekend, Colts-Titans rematch, which obviously has important playoff implications. And then we're going to talk a little Taysom Hill, since he's going to go up against a Vic Fangio defense over the weekend. We'll get in a quick little holiday version of The Counter, get you ready for this weekend. And then I'm going to go try to find a Christmas tree, I guess. Take my kids.
Maybe I'll cut one of these trees down. I'm in the woods. So.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to just strap it to your car as you're coming back over the Bay Bridge, which is not dangerous at all, you should definitely do that. And I don't know. Is the wind gusting today? Hopefully. So just drop it off at my house.
All right. No problem.
Save me a trip. So let's, the COVID-19 situation. As far as I can tell, there are a lot of different reports. You guys probably saw that, like, PFT and Adam Schefter were fighting yesterday about what was going to happen, fighting about who had the scoop of whether the game was moved and whether the Ravens facility was closed. That was a little Thanksgiving drama. It's like your two most annoying uncles fighting each other. And then now this morning, there are some more conflicting reports. The Baltimore Sun, my pals at the Sun, are reporting that, there are basically three options that they can try to play the game in the coming days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and try to figure something out to keep it going and then move the Cowboys Ravens game. They could add it. They could basically create a week 18 and move the Ravens Steelers game. The Ravens Steelers game is obviously important because they are the top. They're two of the top teams in the AFC North, and are the Ravens at this point are fighting for a wild card and would need to slip into that last spot. And then there's some talk, and Charles Curtis addressed this today, that the NFL could declare a forfeit, but that seems unlikely because the Ravens have not been disciplined. It's, as far as we can tell, the you're going to have to forfeit games is sort of a punishment for if you get caught letting COVID spread multiple times. So if you've been previously disciplined for COVID violations, which like the Titans were, you remember way back when the Titans were gathering, they were having sort of unsanctioned practice while they were supposed to be in quarantine. So if you're a team that's already been in trouble with the league, then maybe there'd be a postponement. But to our knowledge, the Ravens are not on that list. So therefore, it sounds like that's not really on the table. Steven, what, we're on the record is like the NFL is just plowing through this, right? Like they don't really care at this point, right? They're sort of like making motions toward the idea of caring about the global pandemic ravaging the country. So what do you expect to happen? What's your thought on how this is going to actually unfold?
I think the game gets played. I don't know whether it's Sunday or Monday, but I think it's going to get played one of those days. And maybe it's a situation where the NFL is just like, Baltimore, you have to play. Similar to what they did for the 49ers when they had a short turnaround against the Packers and were without a lot of people and just ended up playing. So, I mean, I guess you just got to make them take it on the chin. And just they're probably going to lose the game. They're not going to have Lamar Jackson, obviously. And
right.
So, I mean, I think that's what you have to do. It's, I think it's better than forfeiting the game, but it's like adjacent to making them forfeit.
It's basically a forfeit. Right. Right. I mean, they're also not going to have Trace McSorley. He's also on the COVID list. So, I mean,
but we will get to see RG3.
No, yeah, the Ravens will be. That's right. That's right. Get to see some RG3 action. All right. So I guess we'll break down that game a little bit later once we get into it. And like you said, I mean, you are standing on your spot that the Ravens are ultimately better than the Steelers and certainly have a higher ceiling, and their trajectory in general is better. But without RG3 playing instead of Lamar Jackson, and if they lose other players too, I think.
Okay, but think of the takes if RG3 wins that game, though.
Oh, man.
Like the take machine has already been working against Lamar. If he wins and looks impressive, like there's going to be a lot of just bad takes. I'm going to say right now there'll be bad takes because any suggestion that they'll be – that they
Steven, there are always bad takes. That's just how this works. But the Ravens, it looks like, would be, I don't know. I guess Ingram and J.K. Dobbins might have time to return if they have, I don't know. So it's all just about the timeline and knowing exactly who tested when. So this is what a mess. What if RG3 throws the ball better than Ben? Then you'll have some takes.
Oh yeah. Well, no, that's for sure going to happen. It's going to look better. I don't know if like the results are going to be better, but it's going to be more impressive.
Oh man. Love it. All right. Thanksgiving games. Texans beat the Lions 41-25. As I said, I was blogging through this game. I wrote about JJ Watt's pretty cool interception early on. I wrote about Matthew Stafford failing to catch a pass on a trick play. It was actually a pretty nice pass from who threw it? Jamal Agnew? Jamal Agnew threw this pass. Really got it. Dropped it right in there. Matthew Stafford couldn't hold on.
That's actually when I started watching the game. Like I turned the game on and it was instant replay, and it was like slow motion of Matthew Stafford running downfield trying to catch a ball. And I'm like, what have I gotten myself into?
My favorite thing about that. My favorite thing about the play is that Jamal Agnew gets the ball and he looks at Matthew Stafford, and Matthew Stafford is covered. Like he's just completely blanketed. And Jamal Agnew's like, nope, I shouldn't do that. And then he's just like, actually, it's 2020. It's the holidays. Like, I'm just going to give hope a chance. I'm going to float this ball up there. And he throws like the most perfect pass. Like the placement on that pass is insane. And just drops it into Matthew Stafford. And Matthew Stafford could have made a miracle happen, but he just Matthew Stafforded it away.
It's kind of like reminiscent of like the Calvin Johnson days when Stafford would just throw it up to him no matter what. But like the Agnew Stafford connection is not nearly as good.
That didn't work out. And then the Lions were sort of pushing for a comeback, and they had a fourth and short and opted to hand the ball to Jason Kabinda, who they never use, a fullback, and he just got absolutely nowhere. And as you pointed out in your post, everyone started making fun of the Lions for firing Jim Caldwell to move on to Matt Patricia, who I think we can say definitively now has been pretty much a disaster. This defense, obviously, like, he's a defensive mind. He's supposed to bring the Belichick whatever to the team, and it has not really happened. He has a lot more of his guys this year who should know the Patriot/Belichick way, and Deshaun Watson made them look silly. He was just fantastic again. I was watching the game and thinking about our conversation last week about how you think Watson is catching up to Russell Wilson in like every play. I was like, yep, a little bit closer. Because he's really good, man. He's really, really good.
And I'll say this. Patricia has finally built a defense like the Patriots defense. Embarrassed by Deshaun Watson a week ago.
He's built the Patriots defense that has fallen to last in DVOA, not first. I'm not sure how much to add to that. Romeo Crennel seems to have the Texans playing a little bit better. Doesn't mean anything, I don't think. Obviously the Texans are going to take the chance to do a coaching search after the season and come up with a shiny new name. I think we all know that.
You have to wonder if Crennel even wants that job, because he's the oldest coach in the NFL right now.
Right.
He wasn't coaching. He was like a consultant to start the season.
Right.
I don't even know if he'd be interested in it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a lot of work coaching an NFL football team. All right. What about the Washington football team absolutely destroying Dallas Cowboys, taking a commanding lead in the NFC East, just bursting out of the gates, out of the pack? You watched this game. Is there anything noteworthy here? Is this just the NFC East being the NFC East?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, it's obviously the NFC East being the NFC East, because I'm about to say that I think Washington might be the best team in that division. And I know that's probably recency bias, just because I just saw them play really well, like 12 hours ago.
Right.
And the Giants did beat them a couple weeks ago in Washington. But like when you Washington's the one team that has a unit that is very good, and that's the defense, which was like top six, top five in DVOA. Nobody else in the league right. has something like that. The Giants defense has been playing well, but it's still, I think, outside the top 10 in DVOA. And the offense looks at least functional now. It was really fun on Thursday, on Thanksgiving. They're getting Logan Thomas right. involved. He's running read options. He passed a ball. And then Antonio Gibson, the rookie running back, is just taking off. And I like what they're doing with him and J.D. McKissic on the field at once. That really plays with how the defense can match personnel. And they can create some mismatches with some linebackers, which they were doing in that first half. And then Terry McLaurin is just he's just a stud. He's maybe a top 10 receiver. And what is this, his second year? So they have something brewing there. They just need a quarterback, a long-term quarterback. I think Alex Smith is fine for now
right.
this season. But, yeah, they got some pieces.
Yeah. That's always the thing that you think about with Alex Smith, right? It's just like the offense is working. Like, it just works. Like, it's not – like, he's just the ultimate guy who comes in and just makes the offense work a little bit better. Like, he's not going to do anything spectacular, but that's just been who he is for a career, and it's worked for him, and it's working here. The numbers that jump off the page for me as I look at this are Ezekiel Elliott, who I want to look at the regular stats here, ran 10 times for 32 yards and had one catch for 7 yards. This is a dude who's making a boatload of money to be supposed to be one of the engines of the Cowboys offense. And it's obviously not happening. He also had the he had -4 rush yards over expected yesterday, which was not the least because Adrian Peterson had -19. But that is not great. By any measure, Ezekiel Elliott is not, in this game, he did not live up to what the Cowboys paid him for. I know that you already think that deal is bad, but is it getting worse? I mean, are we seeing a situation where that's going to hamstring the Cowboys even more so than what you predicted at first?
I mean, yeah. I think he's getting worse because he's a running back, and this
is right. That's how it happens.
I think he's washed, and it's like year 5 for him. So, but we're at the point where it's like boring to even talk about running back contracts. Like, we know it's bad, but there's nothing interesting to say anymore. We're just repeating ourselves.
I love it. I love it. You regular football fans, we've moved past the running back contracts. They're so bad. We can't even talk about them. That.
We don't need to talk about his contract anymore. It's bad.
Does Mike McCarthy make it through this season? I know that there's no way to know because the Jones are crazy, but.
Yeah, I think he makes it through the season. I don't know because they are in the race still. So maybe Jerry thinks he can give the team a spark by making a change. I don't know. Maybe letting Kellen Moore handle things, but I don't see it. I think he's going to wait until after the season. And then I think he'll give McCarthy another season, actually. He shouldn't, but I think it will happen.
Right. Yeah, I mean, anyone pretending like the NFC East is real, I mean, people were pointing out on Twitter yesterday, like, oh, man, a QB who comes back from horrible leg injury and a coach who's going through cancer making the playoffs would be a great story. And it would, like, obviously, no question, both those guys, who, heroic acts of bravery to fight through. But the NFC East is so bad. It's so ridiculously bad. It really is a sham. It really makes the NFL's method for seeding the playoffs look a little silly this year. So
I hope we know that this talk is going to lead to the NFC East team winning that first playoff game. It's going to happen.
100%. Well, I'm still going to call it a fluke. Still going to make fun of it. All right. Let's look ahead to the weekend. As I said, we wanted to talk Bucks Chiefs. which I think is a 4 o'clock game. My schedule's not up here. But you took another look at Tom Brady after he had all sorts of trouble against the Rams. Looked terrible. And what did you see? Because I was editing this piece and we were talking about it, and you know, we have sort of gone up and down. I always want us to like acknowledge that, like, okay, we were writing years ago that Brady was having trouble doing certain things. You know, he wasn't. I remember one piece you did where he wasn't standing in as long as he used to. It looked like he was sort of more afraid of getting hit, and that was costing him that extra second that he used to take to wait for windows to open and make difficult throws and then take a hit. And then there are other times that you just pointed out that his arm seemed to be weaker and he wasn't able to make the diversity of throws that he generally was making that makes an offense. You know, obviously, if an offense can put the ball all over the field, it's much more difficult to defend. And then last year you wrote that basically he's a lot like Kirk Cousins now, and that's fine. You know, you can make a guy like a team coached by Bill Belichick could make that work. That would be fine. And then coming into this year, we were wondering, is he going to be able to thrive in a deep, you know, in an offense that relies so much on vertical passing routes like Bruce Arians, and we wondered whether Arians would change it. So then we gave it a few weeks. You looked at the film. You said Arians has not changed his offense at all, and Tom Brady has acclimated. He has figured out most of the throws. He's doing a lot of the things that he needs to do to succeed, and that's, I think, sort of where we left it. It's like, okay, this might work, but of course what happens is that defenses adjust. And you have noticed now that defenses adjusted and figured out a way to sort of use what Arian wants to do against Brady in a lot of ways. So can you explain what you saw when you went through this?
So I don't know if it's defenses adjusting or they happen to go up against defenses that tend to do the things that give this offense problems. And that's, they play a lot of too high. I'm talking about the Saints in the league.
Right.
In particular, and the Giants played a lot of too high when they played the Bucks, and the Bucks offense really struggled in that game. And it was a closer game than people expected, but they used those too high safeties to double and bracket the seam routes, and they used that extra safety to cut off crossing routes. And really, the Bucks offense has been dependent on big plays and big throws downfield, but with Brady, you can't really rely on him to throw those to the outside. He's got to do it, you know, in those seams and to those crossing routes and post routes, just routes breaking over the middle of the field deep. And with those two safeties back there, they can, you know, defend those routes better, and they can get brackets on Mike Evans in the slot or Chris Godwin in the slot. So that basically forces Brady to either throw underneath, where he hasn't been efficient throwing underneath this year. He's completing the passes. He's just not getting a lot of yardage. I think he was like 24th in yards per attempt. And then success rate, he might have been lower, or it was around the same ranking. And then, or he can throw outside to the perimeter. And I think that's where he's throwing a lot of his interceptions right now. In the Rams game, he almost threw
right.
And the safety dropped it. But yeah, they're basically forcing Brady to make throws to areas where he's not comfortable making them at age 43. And I want to see. I'm really interested in this game because Steve Spagnuolo is known for switching up his game plans week to week, and he does play some two high coverages. I want to see if he, you know, follows that trend and employs similar coverages to the Saints and Rams. And if that happens, I think we could start to say, oh, maybe there's a blueprint for stopping this offense.
Just to reinforce how difficult a time Tom Brady has had. We use an NFL research tweet and chart in this story. Brady was 0-for-6 with two interceptions on deep passes against the Rams, and he is 0-for-19 on deep passes in his last four games and missed on his last 22 deep attempts. That's the longest streak for any QB since 2017. And then the chart shows that in weeks 1 through 7, Brady was... not great, but sort of fine, around league average on deeper throws. Completion percentage 35.9. I mean, those throws are harder to begin with. So, you know, the numbers should be a little bit lower. But now he's just totally fallen off the cliff. And it's like you said, that was it in, after the boom, I guess, we cut, you wrote a long section about NFL teams figured out that the seams against, especially against those, against what the Seahawks were doing, that that seam throws were sort of a hack, right? Like you, it was, if you could get the right seam, that was an easier throw for a quarterback to make, and it was harder for the safety to get over there. And then that was really a place that you could exploit. And so that's what's being, with the too high safety, the seams are not there in the same way. So that's what Brady is not being able to throw at this point.
Yeah, that was kind of the meta of the league. Was it wasn't just Seattle, like Seattle started it, but the NFL basically became a single high league. You were either playing cover three, or if you wanted to play man, you played cover one. And then teams started to attack those seams, and defenses had to take back the seams, and the way to do that was to play two high safeties. And now that's where the league is going. It's cyclical. And you go back to that stat you just talked about, the Brady deep ball stat, and like it shows up in the numbers how reliant they are on deep balls. Their success rate, they're ranked 24th on offense, and their EPA, they're ranked 15th. And when you see a wide gap between EPA and success rate, if EPA is higher, then they're getting explosive plays, but they're not getting down-to-down consistency. If it's the other way around, they're getting the down-to-down consistency, but they're not getting explosive plays, which is what we've seen out of Tom Brady offenses the last couple of years in New England because of personnel.
Right.
But now we're seeing the opposite. Right. Brady is not, hasn't really been good at those short passes, and it's been like 3 years since he's really been great at them, and that was like really his, his, you know, biggest character strength.
The counter.
I don't know that we've ever fully explained the success rate stat, which we use a fair amount, but it's basically just getting the ball toward a first, toward a new set of downs per down. So like after first down, you want to have a certain number of yards, after second. So it's whether you're succeeding doing that. And so that's what Steven's saying, is that the Bucs are not doing that, that they are producing the 15th most estimated points per attempt, but they are not actually moving the ball down to down, which is flabbergasting for an offense run by Tom Brady. Because that's, I go back to our, when we did the show with Gautam Chopra and talking about, you know, Tom Brady, he asked Tom Brady what his favorite game was, and Brady picked this random game where he just like completed a bunch of short passes. And like, that's Tom Brady's mentality, man. He just loves to do it that way. So it's interesting to see. Who is your pick in this game? I mean, I know you're remaining super bullish on the Chiefs. How do you see this one actually playing out? KC is a 3.5 point favorite.
Oh, I'm really big on the Chiefs in this game. I don't think it's going to be close, to be honest. We've talked about how home versus the blitz. Well, this Bucs defense, it's at its best when they're blitzing. So if they can't do that, I don't know how they stop Chiefs offense, which is something you could say about every other team in the league. And then I have confidence in Spagnuolo giving Brady problems and giving that offense problems. He gave Brady problems in the best year of his career, maybe the best quarterback year ever in 2007 in the Super Bowl. So I have confidence in the defense and the offense.
Man, it's crazy to think back that far that Spagnuolo has been dealing with Brady for that long. I mean, he's been in those key positions. Let's talk Colts Titans. The last time this game was played, just a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think, was the Colts winning 34-17, which is, you sort of predicted that would happen. You saw the Colts rising, and you saw Tennessee, saw some flaws that they could exploit. Since then, the Titans have beaten the Ravens in Baltimore. And so both these teams are 7-3. The Colts will be without DeForest Buckner. Titans have Derrick Henry. So I don't know. How much does that change this week how do you expect it to be any different as these teams vie for the top of the AFC South?
I think losing Buckner is a big deal because he does so much for that defensive line, just not his own production, but setting things up for other players on the line. And he really dominated this matchup last time. He had his best rush game of the year per PFF grade. He had his 90.8 pass rush grade. He had four.
Oh, my gosh.
He had three hits on the quarterback. So, yeah, he had a big game. So, I know the Colts pulled away late in that game, but the game was close for like three quarters. And maybe you subtract Buckner's pressure from that game and Tannehill plays a little better and Derrick Henry has a little more space to run the ball in the box. I don't know. I think that it might even things up.
Colts are a 3-point favorite in this one. They're playing at home. What did you pick?
All that said, I'm still picking the Colts because the Titans defense is really bad and it's bad on third down. You want to be bad on third down against Phillip Rivers. Like, you give him a look, he's probably going to figure it out and know how to exploit it. So I'm going to stick with the Colts, but I would not be surprised if the Titans pulled off an upset here.
Yeah. Taysom Hill. We admitted that he looked, you know, he did enough to win comfortably against the Falcons. You looked at the film and saw some disturbing trends and largely that he appears to not be able to throw the ball to his right. And in fact, one time he rolled to his right a little bit and tried to throw and it looked like he was spiking the ball instead of getting it 7 yards to his receiver. And then his passing chart shows basically that they were all basically to the left seam, right? I mean, it wasn't even – I don't even know how many went to the actual sideline. So your prediction is that Vic Fangio, one of the better defensive minds in the league, is going to figure out some things to give him trouble here. The Saints are, of course, still a 6-point favorite. They are 8-2, and your top team in the NFC and – the Broncos are coming off a win against the Dolphins, in which they looked more competent than they have in recent weeks, but still 4-6, quarterbacked by Drew Lock.
Yeah, I really don't think Taysom Hill is going to enjoy his afternoon again. That's a whole nother beast compared to the Falcons defense, which just provided him with all the time in the pocket that he needed. And he still ran into a couple sacks. And I mean, the secondary just couldn't find the ball in the air. Taysom Hill was leaving it up in the air for like 10 seconds and throwing the ball, and Deion just didn't know where the ball was. So this is going to be a whole nother experience. I really think the Broncos defense is coming along and they're starting to play well after a slow start to the season. Justin Simmons has been one of the better safeties in the league. I would not be surprised if he had the pick on Taysom Hill. I'm calling it right now, actually. Justin Simmons is picking off Taysom Hill.
Oh, man. We're calling things again. I gotta figure out what happens if you don't.
And we've talked about
if you don't get this one right.
We've talked about defenses taking away the seams. One of the best coaches at doing that has been Vic Fangio for like a decade or two. And Brandon Staley, the Rams defensive coordinator, he coached under Vic Fangio and kind of learned that defense from him, his coverages from him. So we talked about Taysom Hill only throwing to the left seam. Well, that left seam's probably going to be covered well by the Broncos defense.
Right. Interesting. Do you think the Saints will cover, or are you that worried? They won't.
No, I think the line's like 6, and I picked the Broncos on our picks post. Another factor is that the game is in Denver, and that's always a tricky thing for away team because of the altitude. So I would take the points, actually. I think the Saints win, but I don't think they cover.
Ravens Steelers is tentatively scheduled for 1:15. Means there'll be an NBC afternoon game, the rare NBC. If it happens, then we did discuss this early in the show. The Ravens look like they will be completely depleted. And there is no line on this game, obviously, because of the uncertainty surrounding it right now. But there's no way that the Ravens can find a way, right, against the Steelers team without Lamar, without a couple running backs. I don't even know. The Ravens haven't been able to practice, so we haven't been getting practice injury reports. So Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, some of the other injuries they've been dealing with, I don't know that we've had really good updates on what's going on there. This is bad for the Ravens, right?
Yeah, I don't see how they win this. Even if like all these dudes are fine, I don't think that's going to be enough. They're missing too many dudes. So as much as I want to pick Baltimore, and I really think they're the better team when healthy, they're just not there. And I don't see how this game is even close.
Yeah.
The whole question is this going to be an Al Michaels Collins game, or are they going to be saved for Bears Packers, which isn't even a good rivalry? Let's stop pretending it is.
Yeah. Let's not even talk about that game so that I can go get the Christmas tree. yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen the news on which announcing team they're going to use where. Probably because this Ravens-Steelers game seems almost certain to be moved again. So it's not really going to matter in the end. But yeah, the Ravens would fall to 6-5 if this happens. And that would be problematic, I think, especially if... if spread continues. Now they have the Cowboys, which is, as we've said, almost certainly an automatic win. And then the Browns, which, you know, the Browns are, they're chasing the Browns in the AFC North right now. And then Jags, Giants, Bengals to close out. So they do have a friendly schedule toward the end.
And maybe it's a good thing that it's happening this week because they may have lost to the Steelers anyway. If they were healthy. So you just burn that game, move it out of the way, and then, you know, dominate the rest of this cupcake schedule.
I love it. I love it. Let's do an analysis of the best time to get the pandemic sweeping through. Like, that's
I sound like one of the guys that was saying it was an advantage in like herd immunity in the offseason, not the college players. I regret the good Lord.
All right, Coach O. We got you go down to the Eastern Shore of Maryland and turn into Coach O. Cool, man. Right. All right. Let's run through some other games that we got going on over the weekend. Give you a full rundown. Of course, my scoreboard is not working here. Hold on. I'm trying to remember what the there's so many not compelling games this weekend.
Are we throwing the Cardinals Patriots into that bucket of not compelling? Because I'm really compelled.
You always love. I mean, that's a coaching matchup. I'll give you that one. Arizona's a 2-point favorite, even though the game is in New England. What did you pick?
I don't even know. I probably picked the Patriots.
Belichick's defense is that defense is so
right.
Malfunctioning at this point.
But he did give a little preview of how Arizona is going to attack that type of defense when they played the Dolphins. So maybe he has that advantage that helps him. I don't know. And the Patriots has been a lot better over the last couple of weeks. Like the offense ranks like fourth in EPA over the last 4 weeks. So I don't know. I think maybe they'll keep it close and maybe even win.
Yeah, I wonder when we look back on this season, how much we'll also remember the weird COVID things, you know, like will we recall that the Patriots had that bad spell, but like really that was Cam getting COVID, missing a bunch of practice because of COVID, getting over COVID, coming back and reacclimating after not having, you know, like how well are we actually going to remember the impact that it had on this league, because as we say all the time, it's hard to follow even week to week. But that really, I mean, that's the story of the Patriots, is that it was always going to be a thin line, right? It was always going to be like, hey, we're bringing in Cam late. We're going to try to make this work. We're going to figure it out as we go. And then if there's any sort of interruption, like your quarterback getting sick and being away from the team, that was probably going to derail the momentum, and that's exactly what we've seen happen. As you said, who'd you pick? Do you remember? You don't remember?
No, I think I picked the Patriots, but I regret that pick already. Like, don't bet on the game. Don't listen to me. I'm wrong. I'm going to be wrong about it either way. They're probably going to tie.
Don't bet on. Don't bet on sports, kids. It's hard. It's hard to do. All right. Let's start with the 1 o'clock games. Raiders, Falcons. Raiders are a 3-point favorite.
No idea what to do with this game, betting wise. I have no idea. And it doesn't seem like Vegas knows either. That's why it's a -3. I think the Falcons are at home. It's just a weird game all around.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if either way it goes. I wouldn't be surprised if Las Vegas blows them out. I do think their defense has been playing better. John Gruden, I was tooting his horn like, I guess, a month ago. Still keeping it
right. Yeah, I know. He's got Carr looking like a pretty competent QB, man.
And we talked about it the last couple of weeks about how, like, we overreact to individual quarterback performances and how I'm not really going to change my opinion of the player unless I see some real evolution. And we've seen that from Derek Carr. Like, I think I've said this before on the pod, like, he's scrambling, he's getting outside the pocket, he's throwing deep. So I think it's real. I don't know. The Raiders are going to the playoffs.
Wow, there it is. Exciting. Chargers-Bills, which I think the Bills were on bye last week, so we didn't get to talk about them. And they're – I don't know. I think they remain one of the more interesting teams in the AFC as far as if some team is going to emerge and make a playoff run. Obviously, we know that Josh Allen himself is really a streaky player, and that's generally more down-to-down rather than game-to-game. But their defense has been coming on, too. So it feels like this is a team that could go on a little bit of a run. What are you looking for in this game? Buffalo is a 5.5-point favorite against Justin Herbert, who, by the way, you guys probably saw the stories this week, but Herbert is pretty strongly on a path toward the best rookie season from a quarterback ever. So enjoy that. Like, watch Justin Herbert if you can. He's really a fun player to watch.
It feels like we haven't seen this Bills team play in like a month.
I know.
The game feels so long ago, and the defense had shown some signs, but I think the Seahawks still put up 31 points on them. But Cardinals obviously moved the ball on them, and at the beginning of the game, they couldn't score touchdowns and had to settle for three. But they're scoring at the end of the game. They obviously scored on that play. So I don't know what to think about this defense yet. And Justin Herbert is going to give them a good test. I think we'll find out. In my picks post, I went with the Chargers. And I took another jab at Bills fans and Josh Allen. I said that I wrote that Justin Herbert is the quarterback that Bills fans think Josh Allen is.
Oh, man. So painful.
Got to reignite the rivalry.
You just can't, the rivalry between you and Bills fans. Giants Bengals are playing football this weekend. The Giants are a 6-point favorite. Bengals obviously will not have Joe Burrow. Football, sure. They're going to play it. What's your pick? Daniel Jones leads the Giants in rushing. I'm just looking at this now. This is amazing. 49 carries for 384 yards. I love it. I love it.
Like, up until yesterday, I didn't know who was starting at quarterback for the Bengals. And I, like, watched. I watched that
game. I still don't know, so don't tell me. Don't say it. Don't say it.
All right.
I would be surprised.
I give you three quarterbacks and you guess which one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Ryan Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Driscoll.
All right. I already forget the people you said. Brandon Allen?
Yeah.
Is that a real guy?
Yes. Not a real quarterback.
Oh, dang it.
He's like, I can't even call him a Drew Locke. He hasn't even risen to that level. He's a Jake Luton.
So you think the Giants will cover here?
Yeah, I'm taking the Giants.
Panthers, Vikings. Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite against your pals, the Panthers. You called the Vikings jumping up into a playoff spot a while ago.
They're not my pals.
No, I'm putting it on you.
I disowned them for this year.
Yeah, because they're not properly tanking. I know. What do you think happens this weekend?
I have to disown the Vikings now after they embarrassed me last week, losing to the Cowboys.
I know.
Where are they? and leading to, I mean, I guess I can't blame them. You know, Mike McCarthy smashed the watermelon, and I don't know how you come back from that. Maybe you could another one, but that was a mistake. That was a coaching mistake. Yeah, Paul told him that he needed to smash another one. But yeah, I have no trust in the Vikings anymore. What's the line on it?
3.5. Vikings.
Oh, don't bet on this game. Don't even watch it. Don't, just pretend it doesn't exist. I'll pick the Panthers. I don't know. I don't care.
Should we? Should we smash a watermelon on the counter? Should we go Gallagher? I don't even know how people remember. Like, I'm guessing that the players didn't remember Gallagher, right? Like, they were just like, our coach is smashing watermelons. That's so weird. Like, let's do this.
That wasn't reported was like, maybe it was, and I didn't catch it, but like, what was it supposed to symbolize? No context, and it was just like, that's all I got.
the other team, I guess. I mean, I used to watch, so I delivered newspapers when I was like 12, 13. And I had to get up at 5 in the morning to deliver them. People really needed their news. I've been bringing people news for a long time. You know, I would get home and put on Comedy Central, and that's how I know that Gallagher exists. Cause like, I don't know when he was popular, but it was basically like he told jokes for 30 minutes and everyone was like, yeah, these jokes are fine. Like, and then he was just like, now I'm going to smash watermelons. Like, it was such, like, it was like, I have been pretty bad, but now I'm going to do an extreme weird thing and that's going to salvage the show, which, like, that's very Mike McCarthy. Like, I got nothing else, guys. I tried my PFF tricks. I, you know, everything that I supposedly learned over the year, none of it has worked. So now I am going to smash watermelon, which is just inherently weird, and it worked, but I don't think it's going to have a long-standing effect is my guess. Browns are a 7-point favorite.
Wait, I still had other questions. Going back to you delivering newspapers, when you said that, I like imagined you like dressed like a kid from like the 1950s.
No, I wore rollerblades, man. I rollerbladed around the neighborhood.
That's even worse. Like, I was picturing you with like one of those hats with like the pinwheel on top. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
It's not pinwheel. Like a pinwheel. It's like a propeller.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like one of those hats. That's what I was imagining.
When do you think I grew up exactly? You know, I'm only like a decade younger than you, right? Like, or you're a decade younger than me. Like, it really wasn't too much different. It's just like I played Nintendo, you played Xbox.
It was delivering the newspaper that threw me off. Like,
you know, back then, man, newspapers were a thing. Everybody got the newspaper. It was that recently that people got the newspaper. Browns, Jags. Browns are a 7-point favorite. The Jaguars listened to the take dump, which everyone should, honestly. All teams should be scouring the take dump for advice on what to do, but they are starting Mike Glennon at QB, and cool. Yeah, I really don't want any analysis of this game, but I've gone down the road, so hit me with it.
And then Mike Glennon was like asked today or this week, and he said this might be my last chance to start, so screw it, I'm throwing it deep. And so
nice.
I'm excited. I want to see Mike Glennon cook. Yeah, they're going to lose this game, though. The Jags are horrid, and they can't stop the run, and that's a problem against the Browns. Like, when the Browns can run, they're a good-looking team, and I don't think the Jags are going to stop them from doing that. So I'll take the Browns, and I'll lay whatever points the spread is.
Yeah, I think it's a touchdown. We should mention at this point that the Browns are 7-3. I think their chance of making the playoffs, if I remember correctly, it was something like 85%. Like, the Browns are probably going to make the playoffs. And we should, that's a nice thing, right? Like, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2002. Well, what were you doing in 2002?
I don't know. The only thing I remember about 2002 is that Maryland won the national championship. So it was a great,
you were,
great time. I didn't appreciate it, though. I always look back on that, on my younger self, and I'm like, you should have appreciated it more. Now Maryland's done with basketball, and they're never going to get close to it. But
I like your wisdom. You're dropping wisdom on the counter right now.
Right, but I got to take issue with something you just said, and it's the Browns are probably going to make the playoffs. Like, can we rely on the Browns to do anything?
Yeah, I guess I just jinxed it, didn't I?
I'm going to figure out a way to not break, make the playoffs and break their fans' heart again.
I sincerely apologize, Cleveland. I meant no harm, and I only want the best for you, all of you in Cleveland. One last game, I think. There's one game. Oh, we haven't talked actually 49ers, Rams, or Bears, Packers. The Rams are a 6.5-point favorite. Been playing well lately. There's always the Jared Goff question, but the 49ers have the same sort of QB issues. So how do you see this unfolding?
I mean, the obvious pick is the Rams, but
right.
We saw when these teams played the first time, Kyle Shanahan just dominated Brandon Staley, which isn't a thing that's happened a lot. So I don't know. I don't think you can count out the 49ers, but I said that last week against the Saints, and Nick Mullins was Nick Mullins. So I would say take the Rams in this one. I think the Rams right now are the best team in the NFC. And I've kind of gone back and forth with that. Like I said at the beginning of the year, canceled the Rams like 3 weeks later. And then now I'm back. But that's only because Taysom Hill is playing quarterback. The Saints right now, when Drew Brees returns, the Saints are going to go back up to the top of the NFC power rankings.
Sunday night, Bears, Packers. Packers are 7-3. In control of the division. Bears are somehow straggling along at 5-5, trying to stay in this thing. I'm not seeing a line for this game, and I don't know why at this moment.
It's because it's Thanksgiving. We don't know how Aaron Rodgers is going to react to this holiday.
He may be so sad from his lack of familial connection that,
or he may be happy and you know, really blow out.
It's like that onion, the onion story, like dude stays home, smokes weed and eats Taco Bell and has best Thanksgiving of his life. I don't know. I don't want to say Aaron Rodgers is smoking weed, but
maybe turn on a Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah. Do a little bit. You got the Packers winning this one?
Yeah, without a doubt. Nick Foles, like, I'm gonna say Nick Foles gets benched in this one. I'm just throwing out hot takes. I don't even care.
I knew the takes would come. You're out in the wilds. You're out in the wilds of Maryland, man. Eastern Shore, Steven, he's just a different dude. It's just a different guy. No restraint out of Eastern Shore, Steven. That's all we got for the counter this week. A little bit of a weird week with Thanksgiving, but we will be back Monday and update you on whatever the league decides to do with Steelers Ravens and whatever else is happening with the COVID situation. Man, I don't know. It kind of feels like we're going to have a week 18. It kind of feels like that's the path we're eventually going to get to. I don't know, but it's really impossible to predict. Find Steven on Twitter. He loves to fight with you, especially if you're from Buffalo, maybe Denver, anywhere really, at the Steven Ruiz. I'm at Chris Corman. We'd love to talk to you there. If you have questions, you can ask them. Maybe we'll address them on the show. Whatever. It'll be fun. Steven, how do you want to close it out?
I wanted to preview some things I'm going to be working on next week. There's going to be more cartoon coverage, Fox cartoon.
Oh,
looking forward to that. As much cartoon coverage as you can handle, I'll say that. And then maybe writing about Deshaun Watson. Might be talking to someone that's close to Watson about his evolution as a player over the last
year
or two, since he came out of Clemson.
Love it. I am excited about all of that. You guys have a good long weekend. Find deals, do whatever. I don't know, whatever you do after Thanksgiving, enjoy it. And we will talk to you again on Monday. Take care.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports, featuring For the Win, Steven Ruiz and Chris Corman.